Lord, turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, talking about this thing of judging others. We're going to start reading this morning in verse 37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. You know, over the past several years, and even so much more today, it seems like, as my dad used to say, people are wearing their feelings on their shirt sleeve. So easily offended. So easily offended. They're offended at other people who they feel like have passed judgment on them. They'll say, "Don't judge me." That's a common phrase. "Don't judge me," they would say. And it's like we're never supposed to say anything negative about anyone about anything, or we're guilty of judging. And I understand that there's a lot of things that people say that are uncalled for. There's criticism directed towards someone or a group of people out of hatred or other reasons. But yet there are sometimes that someone should be judged, when that judgment or analysis, you might say, of the person would help them in some way. It's you've seen something in some way you can help that person. Among those of us who are Christians, there's times when a brother or sister will drift off course. They may start indulging in sin, and they need to be lovingly restored back to fellowship with Christ and with the church. And that's not judging. That's doing what the Scripture tells us to do. But let's consider what Jesus is talking about here this morning. If you were here last Sunday, we looked at the passage just before this one about loving our enemies. And even the title of that is hard for us to swallow unless we really dig into it and see that that's what Jesus asked us to do. And it said there in our study last week is to love and to do good, to bless and pray for our enemies. And we discussed that these actions toward our enemies is not based on how we feel, because we don't always feel like doing those things, especially to our enemies, but it's based on a choice to do these things in obedience to Christ. Remember us talking about that? And we can do these things first under the power of the Spirit, and secondly, if I've got those in order, no particular order, because we love Jesus, right? We love Jesus. We're His. Now in verse 36 last week, Jesus said, "Be merciful even as your Father is merciful." And so then right after that, Jesus starts expanding on this thing of loving our enemies by talking about judging others. That's where we picked up today with that scripture. First off, in talking about love, love doesn't judge. Love doesn't judge. And let's consider again what this word judge means here. Jesus is not talking about what a judge does in a courthouse, obviously. Also, Jesus is not talking about the exercise of church discipline, which, quite frankly, we don't see much of that anymore. Church discipline that's outlined in Matthew chapter 18, where someone who is a believer is acting wrongly and he's causing damage to the church or damage in the community, and his brothers and sisters are simply trying to help him or her get back on course. And I tell you, most of us are afraid to do that anymore. We'd rather just leave it alone, or we'll say we'll just pray for them. And that's a whole nother sermon. But we don't do that. And And so we don't help people when we don't do that. But what Jesus is talking here this morning about is the tendency to criticize and find fault in others, just to have a critical spirit, you might say, censoring someone because they're not like us, or criticizing someone else to make us look better. You know, you're doing that thing that I don't like, and I don't do that thing, so I'm better than you because I don't do that thing, and so forth and so on, judging. And you know, judging is just something, if you'll think about what you do day to day, don't we do a lot of that? We really do a lot of that. I went up to Memphis the other weekend and picked up Susie. Her mom brings her down there. It's kind of a meeting point. It's not actually Memphis. I have to go into Arkansas because her mom don't want to drive in the city. So I go to Marion, Arkansas, but that's okay. But anyway, we stopped at a steakhouse in South Haven, and the waiter comes up, and he's got all these body piercings on his face and so forth. And, you know, that's the first thing that you notice. You're going to notice something on somebody's face, right? Usually, I mean, you look at their face, you notice that. But me being an employer and boss in the past and supervisor and so forth, I made the comment to Susie. I said, you know what? If he was working in my restaurant, he wouldn't be wearing his body piercings. I said, I don't think we're there yet. You know, I don't think we're there yet. Most people, especially in Mississippi, they're not going to receive that very well. And I said, you know, and of course you have a right as an employer to expect certain things out of your employees and so forth. You're paying them to do a job and all of that. But the thing of it is, as I was studying for this sermon, it occurred to me, was I really judging that guy because of his piercings and so forth? I don't know. It kind of sounds like I did. But, you know, it's certainly wrong also to criticize and find fault in others without considering our own faults, right? We've all got faults, don't we? And Jesus alluded to that in verse 41. When he says, why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Why would you find fault in someone else when you have your own faults? It could be greater, is kind of what Jesus is talking there. Your own faults could be greater than your brother that you're trying to correct, right? The thing of the speck in the eye versus the log in the eye. He did that illustration to show the vast difference in those two. And then some Christians, you and I, we judge sinners. Oh, we're good. Those sinners out there, we judge them. We're judging them for doing what sinners do, right? What do sinners do? They sin, right? They sin. But Jesus said that we don't have the right to judge sinners because they're already under judgment of God, right? But then after all, aren't we all sinners? The difference between us and here this morning and those sinners out there is that we're saved sinners and they haven't found Jesus yet, right? They're not there yet. But we're still sinners. And so when you size all that up and line all that up, you start thinking, you know what? Why then would I be judgmental against sinners? We can't judge somebody because we can't see what's in their heart. We don't know why they're acting like they do. And we mustn't have a critical, fault-finding spirit toward others that's judging, you know. And really, if you're doing that, stop it, right? Just stop it. I found that's to be the cure for a lot of my problems. Just stop it. Just stop doing it. Stop. Don't do that no more. Right? When you were growing up, did your mom or your dad ever tell you that? You remember that? My dad told me to stop it. And if I didn't stop it, you know what came next? The belt. The belt. And it didn't hurt a thing, did it? Now, you might think I'm a little warped sometimes, and maybe, oh, my childhood, if I had just grown up, it's because my dad spanked me that I'm the reason why I am what I am. No, you are what you are because you chose to be that way most of the time, right? Stop it! That's the cure. Jesus said, judge not, and you will not be judged. If you think about that, that connects with the overall teaching of Jesus. Live the kind of life that won't cause you to judge others, right? Live the kind of life for Jesus, and you won't be in the habit of finding fault in others. You won't be in the habit of being critical to others. As I said earlier, there's sometimes when we do judge others, we're to judge another believer if they've drifted off course. If one of you got into sin and someone from the church came to you in the right spirit, correct, tried to help you get back on course, don't get mad at them, right? They're just doing what we're supposed to do. Is that not right? I wonder how many people, though, where that has been handled wrong and they've gone off, they've left the church because they got their feelings hurt. See, again, feelings on the shirt sleeve. But what we do, we judge them with the idea of restoring them, correct? Restoring them. We want everybody that's supposed to be here, correct? Love doesn't judge. Well, love doesn't condemn, Jesus said there. This further defines what we were talking about, because the kind of judging that we've been discussing really is condemnation. That's a little stronger term, isn't it? Condemnation. If I'm always finding fault in others and always being critical of others, then I'm bringing condemnation on them. Condemnation, what that means is, not only have I judged someone, but I've decided what should happen to them because I didn't like what they did or I don't approve of them. I didn't just judge them, but then I decided what ought to happen to them. And again, it doesn't have anything to do with a judge in a courtroom. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you and me as Christians leaving the judging and the condemnation up to God, right? It's His deal. Leaving it up to God. Love doesn't judge. Love doesn't condemn. What love does is love forgives. Forgives. Have you got anybody that you know of that you need to forgive? Maybe you haven't forgiven. Jesus said, forgive and you will be forgiven. He said, forgive and you will be forgiven. When we read Jesus' statement, and you look at that at face value, like we like to say, it's like, if I don't forgive, you mean Jesus won't forgive me? That's what it said, wasn't it? But other scriptures teach, and we don't want to get this mistaken, other scriptures teach us that when we receive Christ by faith, He freely forgives us. And He doesn't put conditions on that, does He? Aren't you glad that when you came to the cross of Christ that He didn't put conditions on that? You just place faith in Him and He forgave you of your sins? Isn't that great news? Do you ever get tired of hearing that great news? I don't. But yet our passage today says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Or if you don't forgive, then Jesus won't forgive you. Now, how do we reconcile that? Well, the explanation is that really what we're talking about is two different kinds of forgiveness. We're talking about judicial forgiveness, and then we're talking about parental forgiveness. Judicial forgiveness is that which is granted by God the judge to everyone who believes on Jesus. It means that when you come to Christ, the penalty of your sins was met by Him on the cross, and you won't have to pay for your sins. Isn't that great? Amen. Don't look too excited. Am I here by myself? No. What that is, when you came to the cross and Jesus forgave you the penalty of your sins, meaning that you don't have to pay for your sins, that is unconditional forgiveness. That's great, isn't it? So then how do I reconcile that? Well, there's that judicial forgiveness, but there's also parental forgiveness. That happens afterward. After Jesus has forgiven us the penalty of our sins and afterwards, after I've believed on Jesus and after I've accepted full payment of my sins by His sacrifice on the cross and I'm a child of God, God then has become my heavenly Father, right? Now when I sin, and we sin after we're saved, don't we? When I sin and then I forsake that sin and confess that sin to my heavenly Father, He forgives me. The Bible says when I confess my sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, that's one of my favorite verses. He is faithful to forgive us. But just because I sin doesn't mean that I lost my salvation. But what I have done, until I asked Jesus to forgive me for that sin, I've broken fellowship with God. And when I've broken fellowship with God, or I'm living in broken fellowship with God, and then I want forgiveness for a sin that I've committed, then that's what that means, He won't forgive me. I haven't forgiven, so I'm not going to be forgiven. Let's say that Robert has done something to make me mad. I wasn't going to put anybody's name in that, but it's fun to put Robert's name in these kind of illustrations. Let's just say that Robert made me mad, and I've decided that it's bad enough that I am never going to forgive him. Not going to forgive him. Then later I realize that I've committed another sin, and I get down on my knees, and I ask God to forgive me. Do you think He's going to forgive me? I've got this thing over here with Robert going on, and I have already said that I'm not going to forgive him, yet I'm going to come over here and ask God to forgive me. Jesus has several teachings in there about that, doesn't He? You know, if you come to the altar and you realize you have something against your brother, to leave your offering and go deal with your brother. God is not going to forgive my sin until I work the thing out with my brother. Because until I do, I'm living in broken fellowship with God. You ever wonder why God's not working in your life? You ever wonder why God's not doing this and you can't feel the Spirit and you're trying to worship and you can't worship and nothing seems to be acting right? Could it be that there's something out there, someone out there that you haven't forgiven and you're living in broken fellowship with God? And as long as we live in broken fellowship with God, you're not really going to be feeling the Spirit when you come to worship. Because you're coming to worship God and you've got something going on. And that's breaking your fellowship with God. Again, it doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but it does mean broken fellowship, and that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. So when you think about it, when we judge someone unfairly, it brings about condemnation. And condemnation, it means unforgiveness, which results in broken fellowship. It's like a domino effect, isn't it? Start out by judging someone unfairly, brings about condemnation. Condemnation brings about unforgiveness. My fellowship is broken with God. One thing happens after another, right? God cannot forgive us when we're unwilling to forgive one another. And I think that's probably a widespread problem in a lot of churches, right? Someone's coming and they've been living like the devil all week and not forgiving people and come in church on Sunday morning and raise holy hands to God, or unholy hands, I might say. But God can't forgive us because God doesn't act that way. That's not in His character, is it? So God doesn't act that way and cannot walk in fellowship with those who do act that way, right? Love doesn't judge. Love doesn't condemn. Love forgives. And love gives. Love gives. I tell you, Jesus don't beat around the bush, does He? I mean, it's right there. It's right there. Love gives. Christianity is not judging and condemning, rather it's forgiving and giving. Now I want to say something, talking about, before you get the idea that I'm saying we ought to roll out open forgiveness to every kind of behavior that's in the community, and that we just embrace everything that's ungodly because out of this thing of love, and that we're supposed to just rope everything in because we're all about love. Know what I'm talking about this morning and what Jesus is addressing is believers. It's believers. No, we never embrace sin in the community, do we? We never embrace that. Now, we embrace the people because we want the people to find Jesus. But we don't embrace it. And so, this whole thing this morning about judging and all that, it's directed to us and between us. And so, those who give, in this thing of giving that Jesus addresses here, those who give generously, He teaches, are rewarded generously. The idea in verse 38 of this man going and sowing seed, he's wearing an apron across his lap, it's the pouches full of seed, and you can kind of picture him sowing seed. If he sows the seed generously, it comes back to him so much that the pouch runs over and he's not able to contain it all. It says pressed down, shaken together, running over, because he's been generous with his sowing, generous with his giving. He's rewarded with a good measure. And it's the biblical measure of giving, this thing of sowing generously, reap generously, sow sparingly, reap sparingly. That's scriptural, isn't it? Jesus said, "For with this measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you." How we react toward others, that's going to come back on us, right? Insist on being judgmental and critical toward others, then expect it back. I can't be judgmental toward someone and then get angry because somebody judged me back, right? Insist on having a condemning spirit toward someone, and it's going to be coming back, right? Dish it out, it's going to come back. Give it, on the other hand, and it will be given to you. Forgive others, and it'll be measured back to you by your Heavenly Father. It's not rocket science, really, is it? Give generously, reap generously. I'm going to tell you what, God has proved that to me I don't know how many times. I don't know how many times. Look at something that I've got and think about how badly somebody needs it. Now, I don't always do this, but take it and give it to somebody. And then God turns around and gives me something bigger and better. It's amazing how that works. I'm not up here preaching a prosperity gospel this morning, don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, that principle of giving generously and reaping generously, it's scriptural. It is. Now, God may not give you back every time 100-fold, but you're going to get back. It's going to be given back. Pretty simple principles, isn't it? Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Hoard it all up for yourself. Jesus said, you already got your reward, don't you? You've hoarded up your earthly treasures. It's, you know, you've already got your thing. But what we do in thinking about this thing of judging, it's kind of a fine line in a lot of areas, isn't it? Whether I'm really judging or I'm trying to help someone, this kind of fine line. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus said, don't do it, right? We've got to come to this thing of understanding that we don't do it. And I'm telling you, we can get hung up in this thing of judging others, like I was telling you about the man in the restaurant, the waiter in the restaurant, or seeing somebody's the color of their skin, or this or that or the other, or they like this kind of thing over here. Or now it's what political side of the fence are you on, right? I hate politics. I hate all this stuff. Don't you? Every year we elect a president, I just hate to sit every time you turn the TV on and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, this thing of being judgmental, because we can be judgmental in a lot of areas, can't we? A lot of areas. But where we've been wrong, we need to confess it and get over it and stop it, right? We need to confess it and get over it and stop it. Instead be forgiving and giving. And that we can do. Can we not do that? Can we not do what Jesus asked us to do? I mean, we're Christians, right? We're Christians, Christians. We're His. And I tell you what, when we live in obedience to Christ, that's the sweetest spot on the face of the earth, isn't it? Because He'll bless you. Remember who you belong to, right? Hear me say that all the time. Don't forget who you belong to. Amen. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank You, God, for Your Word. And would You help us to understand this thing of judging, and when in fact we're doing that, and when we're just doing it because we want to help someone. Because Lord, we don't always know the difference. Matter of fact, I would say for myself that maybe I seldom do. And Lord, would You forgive me for that? Would You help me to be more forgiving and giving toward others, not to embrace sin, but to embrace people and show them the way to Christ. There are so many people who don't know You as their Savior. Perhaps things, epidemics and things like this virus thing that's going on now, Father, that this would drive people to Christ. This would bring about even a move of God in this country. Lord, don't we need that? Father, we need that. We need a move of Your hand so desperately. We're living our lives day by day just like nothing. Help us, God, to do what we're to do, to reach out to those who don't know You, to live our lives for Jesus. Father, give us the power by Your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.